Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Flippin' Bats, and we got a fun one for you today. Making a statement is coming. Is Gerrit Cole going to reach top 10 in MLB history in strikeouts? The Marcelo Zuna and Will Smith situation, who was in the wrong there? Who was in the right? The AL East, will they have four teams making the playoffs? All that coming and making a statement. We got top five BVP. We got Twitter questions. This one is going to be a blast. Let's get to it.
It's a blowout. It's in 10-3. Bases are loaded for Verlander, who waits out of the field. He swings, and it's a high fly ball. Deep center field. It is gone. Home run. And a huge bat flip to celebrate. All right, Ben, start the show already.
Today is Thursday. Happy Thursday, everyone. And I'm joined, as always, by Alex Curry. And Alex, I have to ask, I saw there was just a game five in the conference finals in the NBA for one of the series. I don't know much about what's happening, but surely there's at least a game five in the Lakers series, right? Yeah. You're a big Lakers fan. So surely,
I had this
is
coming.
Is that today?
Rub it in.
Was that today?
Rub it in.
When is the next game?
Rub it in. You know what? Just rub it in. They exceeded expectations this year. And they
did got swept.
Yeah. I don't think any
From the beginning of the season.
And from like trade deadline when they got a completely new team together and pulled it off to make it to the Western Conference Finals. But yes, the Lakers got swept. I deserve this. Rub it in. I dished it. I can take it. And it's okay. You can't win them all.
Alex, I wanted to update something we talked about last week.
What?
My Mount Rushmore of current athletes.
Ooh.
I really thought about this.
Oh, yeah. You got upset clearly that I just threw it on you. You didn't have time to think about it. And
was
you
that
didn't,
last
like...
week or was it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember at this point.
It was this week.
Was it Monday?
It was Monday or Tuesday.
Either way.
It was this week.
I want to update.
Okay.
Because what did, I went Ovechkin. So yeah. current Mount Rushmore of athletes.
Yeah.
I went every sport. I went Ovechkin, LeBron, Mahomes, and Shohei. I want to update it.
Okay.
Two of the four I want to update.
Okay.
Baseball, taking out Shohei.
Whoa.
Mike Trout.
Yep.
I think Mount Rushmore to me is like greatness. All-time established greatness.
Right now, yeah.
Mike Trout in over Shohei is that update. And this one's going to make some people mad. Patrick Mahomes out. Aaron Rodgers in.
What?
All time.
What?
All time.
What?
I have a question. And we're not a football show, but I'm gonna propose to you a question.
Yeah.
If Patrick Mahomes' career ended today, God forbid, if it ended today and he never played another game of football in the NFL, who had the better career, Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers?
I got to look up all of his stats here. Now you're
look up stats.
In. Because how many MVPs? He has two Super Bowl wins.
Two Super Bowls.
Okay, two Super Bowl MVPs, two NFL MVPs, NFL Offensive Player of the Year. The thing is like, he's only been playing since 2017. And he already is like,
I hear you.
Has two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, two regular MVPs. What, Aaron Rodgers has three MVPs, one Super Bowl win?
I hear you. Look, I hear you. I'm just going right now.
Okay.
And that,
we would
now
have to agree to a disagree here.
Great. I knew this would ruffle some feathers.
Yeah. I agree with the putting Trout on over Shohei just because he is right now one of the greatest of our generation. Shohei will be there in a couple of years if he keeps doing what he's doing.
I also agree with that with Mahomes. I think Mahomes is clearly the best quarterback in football. But all-time career, I also think it's close, but I still think Aaron Rodgers.
Also, like, are we in the window where, like, Brady just retired, and if we're going to put a football player in there, you got to put in Tom Brady?
Well, clearly, no, Brady can't. But clearly,
he's officially retired.
Clearly it would be Brady.
Yeah.
So it's now this weird question of the current Mount Rushmore in football.
But like even, because even just seeing what he's done last year, what he did, like after his MVP season and not even getting close, like not being a great playoff quarterback, like
Okay.
Okay.
Well, but yeah, Trout, Trout on for baseball for me.
Are you keeping Ovechkin in there for
Ovechkin and LeBron.
Cool. Did I tell you this already? It's what Gooby calls me. Mark Gubiza, Angels
you?
Analyst. That's my nickname. He calls me Ovechkin.
Ovechkin? Because you just bully people? And
no, I don't bully people.
You literally said...
Bulldog! That's different. Different. When you're playing soccer, I was the enforcer.
Okay. Oh, yeah? You don't bully people? Alex, no. Why don't you tell people what your yearbook quote was for your senior year in high school? Why don't you go on and tell them your yearbook quote?
This was junior year. For soccer, what gives you the biggest adrenaline rush? And I said, when you knock someone on the floor and look at them below you.
Bully.
That was in soccer.
Bully.
That was in soccer. Okay, this is like, I'm a different person now. Like, I went through, like, you know, that those were some savage years for Curry. Like, high school, like, junior, senior year were savage years, okay?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
But you're an immigrant. Trout over Shohei.
Like, especially now with Trout, like, making history last night, officially passing Joe DiMaggio on the all-time home run list.
Yep.
He's now 85th all-time with home run number 362, and you had Trout and Ohtani again going yard in the same game, which is
always
won. A fun thing to
they
do.
Won
and
when
they
did that.
Won.
They didn't get old Hoss Radbourne.
Gosh.
Yeah. But, yeah, good for Trout there. And I don't know what's the cooler milestone for him, passing Joe DiMaggio or being on my Mount Rushmore of current athletes. Probably for him.
Definitely,
know,
Mount
like
Rushmore.
Right there,
yeah,
neck and neck.
Yeah, I mean, that's forever.
All right, Thursday, making a statement
We've
day.
We've got some great statements.
All right.
So if you're new to the segment, hopefully you're not. I'm going to give just some bold statements, and Ben is either going to agree or disagree with his statement and tell us why.
Okay.
You ready?
Let's do it. I am ready.
Okay. Our first statement, 4 AL East teams will make the playoffs.
The fact that this is even a question and like a completely fair question is insane. All five teams are really good. This was the first week of my power rankings that all five teams from half the top 10 was from the AL East.
I mean, you have to when the fifth place team has the same record as the first place team in the AL Central.
Yeah.
Like, every team has a better record than the AL Central, if not same.
So, do four teams make the playoffs?
Yeah.
I'm gonna disagree.
Okay.
I'm gonna disagree. I think one of the AL West teams gets in. So, and also a big part of this is the AL East is just gonna continue to beat up on each other all year long.
Yeah.
Yes, you have less divisional games with this new schedule in Major League Baseball where everybody's playing everybody, but you're still playing your division more than everybody else. So they're gonna beat up on each other. One of the AL West teams, I think, gets in. So the bottom two teams right now in the AL East, you have the Boston Red Sox, who are 26 and 24, and the Toronto Blue Jays, who are 26 and 24.
Which is funny because then the Twins, who are first in the Central, are 26 and 24.
So let's move over to the AL West to continue this conversation. The Rangers are in first place right now at 31 and 18.
Yeah.
And the Astros are 28 and 21 in second place. Both the Astros two games above that pace, and the Rangers a good bit above. The Angels are 28 and 23, also above the fourth and fifth place team in the AL East.
Okay.
And the Mariners are 25 and 24, just behind that pace.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say one of those AL West teams gets in, if not two. Honestly, the AL East is just going to beat up on each other.
Yeah.
So I will disagree with this statement. I think three, maybe two get in.
Would you say it's the best division, toughest division in the league?
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
AL East.
Yes.
Yeah, hands down. I mean, you look at that division, the Orioles just continue to be underrated in just terms of the public. They have the second best record in baseball.
Third youngest
while having
team.
The third youngest team in baseball. They're great. Jays and Red Sox are in last place right now. The Jays were at like the top five in my power rankings 2 weeks ago. It's like, it's just,
there's not a lot of room for error in that division.
By far the best division in baseball.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move to the National League for our next making a statement.
Okay.
Ronald Acuña Jr. will win the NL MVP. Ronnie's on fire.
I think this is the first major award from the season that I am ready to to backtrack on or change my opinion.
Oh, because
I had Juan Soto as my NL MVP.
Yeah, no.
And I am ready to agree with this statement and say that Ronald Acuña will be the NL MVP. I mean, he's on pace right now for over 60 stolen bases. He has 20 right now. We're just over a quarter of the mark season.
And he stole third on a walk.
Like, that was great.
He is just like he's on a different planet right now.
God, that was awesome. He's over 20. He's at 20 stolen bases, two caught stealing, while hitting .330 on the year. He's on pace for a 30 home run, 60 stolen base season, which has never happened. Never.
Yeah.
I looked into it because you don't hear, like, you hear 40-40 season all the time, and he could be the fifth to do that. I think there's a chance this year he gets to 40-40 because home run-wise, he's been hitting a bunch lately, so he's now picking up his pace there.
Yeah.
He's not exactly on pace for that, but he's on pace for a 30-60 season. Never happened. Only Eric Davis and Barry Bonds have gone 30-50. So Ronald Acuña could be the first to ever do that. While also being top five in OPS in all of baseball, I actually think right now the NL MVP is kind of a runaway right now. Acuña is just taking it and running with it.
Yeah, so who would be a close second for you, if anybody? There's not really a...
I mean, close second, and I mean,
yeah.
Freddie's having a good year. I mean, I don't think he can keep this up, but Nolan Gorman?
Yeah.
You kidding me? This guy's on fire. I don't know. Nolan Gorman, I know his OPS is over 1,000 right now.
Yeah.
At least should be an all-star. I'm not going to say he's going to win the NL MVP, but this guy should be an all-star. Ronald Acuña, I think, is the clear favorite right now to win that award.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So one no, one yes. Let's move on to our third statement.
Okay.
Gerrit Cole finishes top 10 in all of Major League Baseball strikeouts.
All time.
All time. Mm. Top 10.
Gerrit Cole will
finish. So he just reached the 2,000 strikeout mark.
Third fastest pitcher to ever do that, by
the
way. Congratulations to Gerrit Cole. Third fastest pitcher to ever reach the 2,000 strikeout mark.
Yeah.
Now the question becomes here.
Yeah.
Will Gerrit Cole finish top 10 all time?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's dive into this. Third fastest pitcher ever to reach 2,000 in terms of games. Randy Johnson did it in 262 games. Clayton Kershaw did it in 277 games. And Gerrit Cole, 278. So right behind Kershaw there. But due to some like injuries and stuff throughout his career, I think his pace isn't exactly on pace for third most strikeouts. The pace, he's
32 years
his
old.
His prime, 32, almost 33.
End of season 33.
Yeah, end of season 33. So he's currently 2,000, he's currently at 87th all time. So let's do a little bit of numbers crunching here, if you will. He needs to right now get to 3,371, which is Greg Maddux at number 10. That's right now.
Okay.
Justin and Max are both on the doorstep, and I think can get there and crack the top 10.
Yeah.
I think they both pass that. So the number we're going to get to the top 10 is going to adjust. This is where we're going to crunch some more numbers.
Okay.
Gerrit Cole's strikeout rate over the last 5 years, five full seasons, 2017, 196, 2018, 276 strikeouts, 2019, 326 strikeouts, 2021, 243, and 2022, 253. So let's just say he's about to turn 33 into the season. Let's just say the next five seasons he averages 200 strikeouts. He's getting older, but I think that's a fair average, maybe even slightly above that. That means he'll hit 3,000 strikeouts by his age 38 season. I think that's fair to assume he gets to the 3,000 mark.
Yeah.
From there is where it gets tricky to get to the top 10.
What number on the list? You have the list in front of you is 3,000. Like where, like The person who has 3,000, what number are they on the all-time list?
I don't
list?
Have it in front of me.
I'll find that.
Okay. You find that while I keep that. Crunching numbers.
Okay.
So from there, he's going to need, by my estimation, with Justin and Max cracking the top 10, at least another 400, 500 strikeouts. Greg Maddux is at 3,371. Walter Johnson is at 3,509.
Okay.
He's number 9. I think that will eventually be the number to crack the top 10. 3,509. So can Garrett Cole get 1,500 more strikeouts when he's 32, about to turn 33? I'm gonna disagree. I don't think. I think he gets to the current top 10 number. I think he passes Greg Maddux.
Okay.
I don't think he passed. There's a pretty big gap between Greg Maddux and Walter Johnson. I'm gonna say no on the top 10.
Okay, and like at 19th on the all-time list is just above 3,000. So it's like you got to reach 3,000,
yeah.
And then you got to go. You got to pass your brother and Max, and then the next closest that are still playing, Zach Greinke, who's 82 away from 3,000, Clayton Kershaw, who's 124 away from 3,000. So there's like current guys that you're also trying to keep pace with,
yeah.
And try to pass. That
What's
are,
Justin currently at?
What's Justin currently at? I don't have it in front of me.
All right. I thought you had the
That's
list
okay.
right in front of you. Justin passes Maddux, and I think passes Walter Johnson, and there's some more guys on the list that he could pass. So you get what I'm saying? Like, I think Garrett Cole can get to Greg Maddux.
Okay.
With Max Scherzer and Justin both getting into that top 10.
Okay, I got – so your brother has 3,218.
3,218.
Max Scherzer, 3,224.
So Justin wants to pitch for quite a few more years.
He's 13th all-time right now.
Yeah, two-year deal, option for a third as long as he's pitching. I think Justin, look, we're talking at least 500. Where would 500 more? I got to put you on the spot.
So Schmaltz is actually at 19th at 3,084.
Okay.
So, okay, math me.
Justin's number plus, let's say, 500 strikeouts.
So he has 3,218 plus 500 more. 3,718.
Where would that put him?
That would put him at 5th.
Yeah. See, that'd be cool. Top 5 all time in strikeouts.
Yeah.
Long roundabout way of saying I don't think Garrett Cole will get to the number that will eventually be the top 10 number.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on to our next statement.
Okay.
Marcelo Ozuna was in the wrong in the Will Smith scuffle.
This situation was wild. Just a quick synopsis. Marcelo Ozuna hit Will Smith the other day on his backswing in the mask, and Will Smith kind of stood up, and they kind of went back and forth for a little bit. There are two parts to this.
Yeah.
But Marcelo Ozuna is absolutely in the wrong if presented this question. I agree. Ozuna was in the wrong originally in the Will Smith situation. And then they kind of got into a little bit of a scuffle. Marcelo Ozuna went back to home plate. And in terms of, by the way, of what Will Smith was saying,
yeah.
I think he kept saying, I know, but, which leads me to believe Marcelo Ozuna was saying, I didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Which is true.
That's a
But at a certain point, it does not matter if you're doing it on purpose or not. Marcelo Ozuna continues to do this. In the course of my 5-year career, I did this twice. Over and not even close to each other. Like probably year one or two, and then the last year of my career, I did it again. And you feel awful, and then you adjust. Marcelo Ozuna needs to adjust. He does it 2 times a week, minimum. So Will Smith, frustrated, obviously. Concussions coming back from that.
Yeah, it's on top of your head.
On top of you, this is a
and
right.
It's a hard swing. You're following through, and it's landing right on top of the catcher's head.
Right. So Ozuna is definitely in the wrong here. He does it so often that you gotta fix it. You gotta. It's not your swing. It's your follow through. And if you have to figure out a way to shorten it up a little bit, but if you're answering, Will Smith needs to take a step back. No. Yeah. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. That does not need to happen. Marcell Ozuna, just if this is something you're constantly doing, you need to be better. This can't continue to happen. And I wholeheartedly agree with Will Smith saying something. He wasn't like throwing at him. He wasn't like making a huge scene. He was just saying, dude, come on. This can't keep happening. And I agree. It can't keep happening. Whether you're doing it on purpose or not is irrelevant. This can't keep happening.
Yeah, it's too common to not adjust.
Yep.
Okay, moving on to our next statement. Jose Abreu hits less than 10 home runs this season.
Jose Abreu has 200 plate appearances this season. 200. Huge offseason signing for the Houston Astros. Their big free agency pickup.
$58.5 million.
Over 3 years. 200 plate appearances into his first season with the Astros. Zero. He does not have a home run still. Not one. Last year, in 601 at-bats, he hit 15 home runs, which is not a big number.
Yeah.
But still.
Something.
Still, in about a third of those at-bats already.
Yeah.
Zero.
I mean, he's 36 years old, and once you kind of hit that plateau, things decline pretty quickly for baseball players, so you just hope that that's not what's happening. Maybe he's just having a hard time adjusting and making that solid contact.
The power numbers have regressed very, very quickly. He's never, I wouldn't say Jose Abreu's been like a huge power guy. He was a guy that would hit you 30 home runs while also hitting 330.
That's
awesome. Yeah. He's an MVP. I mean, he's a fantastic, one of the elite shortstops that has played, or shortstop, one of the elite first basemen that has played the game of baseball. But the regression home run-wise has come quickly. He went 33, and then his MVP year was the 2020 season.
Yeah.
So that power numbers, he hit 19 in that season. Then back to 30, then 15 last year, and now zero so far. So I mean,
is that like kind of like foreshadowing that this is
the
beginning of the end?
If you look at his Baseball Savant page, it's The power numbers, the exit velocity, it's all a regression. I still believe he can be – he's better than a 222 hitter with zero home runs. He is.
Yeah.
It's only up from here. If you had given me five as the number, I would have said over. I think he can get to the 5 to 10 range, but I don't think he's getting 10.
You don't think he's going to get over 10?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
That's sad. He hit 15 last year and 600 at-bats.
That's sad.
He's at 200 plate appearances right now with zero.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
it's a tough time when you see an MVP caliber player start to decline.
You just need one.
Yeah.
You need one,
break
and then
it open.
Two comes.
Just,
one, where there's one, there's two.
Ooh, maybe he hits two in a game. Like, all right, multi-home run game, let's just make it happen. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. One more statement for you. You ready for this?
Yep.
The Oakland A's are the worst team in Major League Baseball history.
History. I mean, that goes down this long rabbit hole of some baseball teams.
Let's go.
But they are off to the worst start since 1932.
Oof.
I do know that. 1932. And they're projected for the most losses since 1899.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 10 and 41 is their current record. 10 and 41. Are you kidding me? I didn't even know I was going to go down this rant, but I was heated about the Oakland A's before this season even started because it's complete bullshit what they're doing with this team, to the fans, to everything going on. It's ridiculous. It's a nightmare what they're doing. They jacked up the season ticket prices. They shipped out their best players. They continue to do that. Why are you raising season ticket prices? Why?
No one's there.
Tell me why.
No one's there.
Nobody's there.
Nobody's
I saw a video
there.
In the stands the other day. Some worker in the stands was yelling at somebody for sitting like two seats closer than they were supposed to.
Yeah.
And nobody else is in the stand. What do you want them to do? Go sit up in section 380 and just be the only one in the stands? Let them move down. Let them sit behind the home plate. Let them move next to the owner and heckle them the whole time. Like,
it's so
somebody.
Sad.
It is so
like,
sad.
Like, everyone's given up.
And
fans gave up. The ownership gave up. Are the players giving up, or are they just not that good?
No, the players aren't giving up.
Like, it's just sad.
It's so frustrating, and I saw this coming, and now for them to be 10-41, it's an embarrassment to the game of baseball. That's what it is. It's an embarrassment to the game of baseball. They've lost 13 of their last 15. They've lost 7 in a row. Their 10-40 record matches the 1932 Boston Red Sox and the 1897 St. Louis Browns for the fourth worst 50-game start in history of baseball.
Oof.
So, okay. But worst in history, no.
Okay.
Not worst in history.
All right.
It projects to 32-130. That's their record pace right now. But that would not be the worst in history.
Yeah, and the season was, 134 game.
I think they end up better. Lose. Yeah, the Cleveland Spiders lost 134 in 1899. I think they end up winning more than their current pace is 32-130. I think they win more than 32 games.
You hope so.
I hope so. It's embarrassing. I don't even want to talk about the. We'll talk about things when I'm so
when and
over.
If the sale goes through in Vegas.
I'm so over the Oakland A's ownership and the way they are treating their fans and the team. I feel bad for the players. It is so hard to play 162 games when you have nothing to play for. Already, it's May 25th, and they have nothing to play for but their own stats. And that sucks. It's terrible. I've been on very good minor league teams, and I was on very bad minor league teams. And the good team I was on, the West Michigan Whitecaps, the year I was there, ended up we won the first half. We won in the minor leagues. If you win the first half, at least in the Midwest League, you win the first half, you get into the playoffs. So it's kind of big incentive.
Nice.
So we won the first half. We popped champagne. It was great. It was a lot of fun. You're playing for the guy to your left and your right. And then I was on some really bad teams where it's all about your stats. Doesn't matter if you're winning games. Organization can tell you, hey, keep on going. We need you to win. No, they don't care. It's all about stats at that point, and it sucks. And that's what the A's are going through right now. Is it's all about your own statistics for the betterment of your own career, and that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks for those players. I feel terrible for them. The fan base is going through it. The owner is a nightmare. This is just a bad situation, and I'm done talking about them until we need to.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right. Well, let's move from the worst team in baseball to the best players in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Your BVPs, your most valuable players right now across
all of baseball.
All
combined into one.
Yes, which is great. So let's start
thanks
with number five.
Number five, first time on the list this year.
Wow.
Aaron Judge. A great year.
Yep.
Obviously, first time he's on it because...
injuries.
Not the start we had become accustomed to for him. It wasn't this crazy start, and then the injury went on the IL for a little while. But he has come off the IL and made up all of that ground to the point where he is now leading baseball in OPS. And he's qualified to do it. Leading all of baseball in OPS, 14 home runs. Aaron Judge is back. He's hitting just about 400 since he's come back. He is on this list now, and I think we'll be here for the majority. There's a few names on here that probably aren't going off. But he is now hitting 294 with 14 homers, 33 RBIs. An OPS over 1,000, and that's while missing a good chunk of the season so far.
Yeah, this is the reigning MVP
that we've
come accustomed to.
We'll talk about it at the end.
Okay.
I'll tell you what's funny at the
end.
Okay,
yeah, hold on to that.
Yep.
Let's go to number four, Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan is third in baseball in OPS,
second
in RBIs, hit a grand slam the other day. Yordan, there's an argument. If it weren't for a guy named Aaron Judge, the argument right now would be that Yordan is the best hitter in the game of baseball. And with the way that Aaron Judge is playing and played last year, you can't yet say that.
Yeah.
But there is an argument for it. Yordan is so good. He is so much fun to watch. There is no way to pitch him. There is no way to pitch around him. I remember when he first came up with the Astros, and Justin was on the team, and we were talking about him because – it was like one of his first hits. He hit a changeup off the wall to the opposite field when the guy was throwing like 100 on the mound. And Justin and I were talking about him after the game, like, this guy is unbelievable. And it's turned out there's no way to pitch him. You mm-hmm. want to bring in a lefty? You want to bring in a lefty just to face Yordan? Don't do it. Don't do it. We saw it in the World Series.
Yep.
They brought in Alvarado. The Phillies did not work.
Bye.
They continue to do it. Brought in a lefty. I think the Brewers brought in a lefty the other day. Grand slam. There's no way to pitch him. He's the ultimate hitter, and he's here at number four on this list.
Number three, Yandy Diaz.
Yandy Diaz. Yeah, just continues to. This is the Rays. Honestly, it's Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena,
yeah.
Wander Franco. There's yeah. so many names, but Yandy's hitting .322. The second best OPS in baseball, 11 homers, 27 RBIs, doing all of that while hitting .322 is crazy. Yandy Diaz on the best team in baseball. So many names you could put on this list, but Yandy Diaz for me with the high average, high OPS, second best in baseball. Power numbers are there as well, obviously with OPS. So he's mm-hmm. here at number three.
At number two, your current NL MVP, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
.330, 11 homers, 20 stolen bases. Ronald Acuna Jr. is on pace for, at minimum, a 30-60 home run season. 30 home runs, 60 stolen bases. That has never happened in history. Only Eric Davis and Barry Bonds have even gone 30-50. Ronald Acuna, with this power surge of late, could definitely get to the 40-40 mark and become the fifth player all time to go 40-40. But he's well on pace for 60 stolen bases. He has 20 right now. He's only been caught twice. But could be the first player ever to go 30-60, which would just be remarkable. While hitting .330. This is the player that I fell in love with when he came into the league. And then injuries kind of derailed a couple of seasons there. But man, Ronald is back, and he's hitting 450-foot bombs while stealing 20 bases just over a quarter mark through the season. It's incredible what he's doing right now. He's at number two on the
list. And he's fun to watch, too. Like, he's having fun. He's doing the gritty.
I won't.
I know.
Every
I bounce
time Alex,
him.
Every time Alex talks about the gritty, she imitates it with shoulders only.
Well, because my feet dangle. My feet don't touch the ground. So, okay. Enough about me. Let's get to the unicorn. Number one, still holding strong, Shohei Ohtani.
Still holding down the one spot. .280 on the year. He hit his 12th homer last night, Wednesday night. 5-1 on the mound with just about a 3.0 ERA. 80 strikeouts on the year already. So offensively, this year has been better than last. Pitching-wise, this year is elite. He's in the elite of the American League pitching category. Hey, how do you beat that? Again, the answer to that question, how do you beat it? The only way to beat it is by doing something extremely historic. And Ronald Acuna is like,
yeah,
close to that category. Luckily, they're in different leagues, so
yep.
they can both win. They are both the heavy favorites as of right now to win the MVP award. But what they're both doing is remarkable. And what Shohei is doing this season. .280, 12 homers, 5-1 on the mound with a 3.05 ERA. That is unfair.
I love his viral Funyuns bus photo that's gone around this week. Sitting on the team bus, the charter, eating a bag of Funyuns.
Poor Shohei.
Just
let the guy eat his Funyuns. That's how you know you're a superstar. You know
yeah.
how you know you're a superstar? When you're getting pictures of yourself that goes viral of you eating Funyuns. You literally do anything
yeah.
and you go viral. You know, I didn't expect to go down this tangent I'm about
go.
To go to. Taylor Swift.
Yes.
In the midst of her Eras Tour.
Yeah.
Right? And anything she does. It rained at one of her shows the other day. There was rain from her concert
in Philly
being sold for $250.
Yep.
Not rain that landed on the stage, just somebody sitting in the audience caught rain
capturing
in a cup
rain.
And decided to sell it for $250.
Saw that.
And anything that girl, she's like the biggest superstar on planet Earth right now.
Yeah.
Shohei's eating a bag of Funyuns and it's a viral photo.
Yeah.
Not quite the level of like, it was raining outside, but Taylor Swift, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Same, but
oh,
different.
Yeah. Kind of.
But,
and then you could put in Beyonce in there too. Like Swift and Beyonce's tour right now are like on pace to maybe be the first $1 billion.
Is Beyonce touring?
Oh, yeah, the Renaissance. It's insane right now. Tickets also, like, crazy, hard to get, similar situation. Yeah, they're both, like, might be the first, like, billion-dollar tours, and Shohei might be, you know, the closest to the billion-dollar man athlete. So they're all superstars in their own ways. Like, the best of the best.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Well, so top five. Back to what I was going to say was funny. Aaron Judge, Yordan, Yandy Diaz, Ronald Acuna Jr., Shohei Ohtani. The beginning of the year. It's just funny how, like, the cream rises to the top. You know, like, the beginning of the year, we had nothing against these guys, but, like, Brian Reynolds was in here for a while. Matt Chapman was in here for a while.
Yeah.
And now you have the Yordans and the Aaron Judges working their way into it. Yeah. Ronald Acuna, Shohei Ohtani.
You're not worried about these guys. They're going to
be
out.
Right. They're going to be here for a long time.
Shohei's the only one that's been here full time.
Shohei's been here full time.
Yeah.
Ronald's been here for, I think four of the five are here. I think four of the five are now here to stay.
Okay.
And I'm hopeful. Can Yandy Diaz hit 322 all year long with second best OPS in baseball? I would love that. But I don't know.
Who knows? All right.
That's baseball, you know?
It is. And it's fun. You know what else is fun?
What?
Fan questions.
True.
So let's get some Twitter questions in before
we
wrap up
today's
show. We do.
Okay.
This first one comes from Talk About Me. Love the handle. And
Taco
the question is,
me?
Taco about me. Let's talk about it. Okay. Is Trey Turner back? We heard him sharing that his mom was booing him in the stands the other day.
Look,
he had a better WBC record than he did to the first couple months of the season.
I'm not ready to say he's
but
back.
But he did have
he had
that
game
tying home run in the ninth. That's something that kind of turns the season
around.
That can be the turning point.
We could look back and Trey Turner could hit 290, 300 this year with, 30 homers, and you'd be saying that was the day it all turned around. I can't yet say it is.
Okay.
I will not say he's back. The game before that homer was a nightmare. He struck out on a pitch that went 55 feet. I mean, He said after the game his mom was booing him in the stands.
Yeah.
The fans were booing him.
Savage.
It's not good. But he's Trey Turner.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players in baseball, and he's not going to do this all year. You have to believe there's going to be a turning point.
Yeah, there will be.
And this home run could be it. But I'm not yet ready to say that Trey Turner's back.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Our next fan question, and shout out to this fan, Yotaro, because he's had a question almost every single time that we've done these. Big fan.
Shout out, Yotaro.
Yep. In terms of legacy, who are the top three all-time Japanese pitchers who have played in the MLB?
Pitchers. Top three all-time Japanese pitchers who have played in Major League Baseball. Hideo Nomo.
Okay.
First and foremost. I wasn't even asked to rank these, so I won't. But Hideo Nomo won. But I guess I will.
Okay.
Two and three are just, I'm going to say Yu Darvish.
Yep.
Longevity there. Great career, Yu Darvish. And I'm going to say, Shohei.
I was going to have
the dominance.
Curious. Yeah.
And also, like,
the superstardom.
Masahiro Tanaka's in that conversation, but he really didn't have a long career in Major League Baseball. From 2014 to 2020, I believe, was Tanaka. So, just the superstardom, dominance on the mound. He's definitely the better. So I'm going to say Hideo Nomo, Shohei Ohtani, Yu Darvish.
Fair.
Not in that order, in any order, but Nomo
top
at
three.
The top.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Two, then go back.
Probably got to go Yu Darvish as of right now.
As
Yu Darvish has had a
end
fantastic
of career.
Career.
Yeah.
Yu Darvish is going to get to 2,000 strikeouts next year. I mean, in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Good
That's
for
big.
Him.
All right. Our final fan question comes from Seth Green. Is it a good idea to propose on the big screen?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Alex, we differed. We differed on the first date. If we differ on this, I swear to God, no.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea to propose on the big screen. At a game in general, do not do it. Do not do it. Please tell me, Alex. Please, for the love of God.
Don't
say you are okay with proposing
on
the big
screen. Not unless you are 1,000% certain that they like that kind of attention and that they're going to say yes. I'm all about a big special moment for proposal, But, like, have you had that conversation? Do you know you guys are actually going to get married? Is he or she going to say yes?
I'm even assuming the answers to those. I'm assuming the answers to those are resoundingly yes. Even in my, what else?
We just saw a no at a NBA game.
I know. It's a nightmare. But I'm not even coming from this as a perspective of she could say no or he.
Yeah.
Or he. You know.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I had a freak. I'm a public person. I like that kind of thing. And mine was in a kind of private, but in a public place. And I still had a freak out like, oh, shoot. Okay. Oh, okay.
Right.
It's happening. Like, I like to be like just me and my person opposed to like everybody else seeing it. That's why I keep my private life private.
I'm very against this. And that's even taking out the factor
but
that
some
he
people
or
love
she
that.
Could say no.
Some people love that attention and maybe not get it. And that could be a dream. Like, I've seen so many proposals on stage, on the Jumbotron, and those kind of moments for someone who wants that kind of attention.
Sure. Cool. I mean, I guess there's a situation where you could have, like, your partner say, I want to be proposed
I want a
to.
Big proposal.
Then
surprise
me. If somebody says, I want a big proposal
surprise
and I go to a
me.
Baseball game and propose on the big screen, I don't think because the screen is big that it means it's a big proposal.
Everyone cheers. Everyone sees it. And then you get, like, a good post.
Everyone cheers and then says, I would never do that. Yeah. But they cheer for the people because they're, no.
You love love.
Yeah, I love love.
Yeah.
Do it at a stadium.
We were talking about Taylor Swift. I just saw a proposal at a Swift concert when she was singing Romeo and Juliet and he got
kinda,
on her knee. That's great.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a great song. That's a classic.
That was good, right?
Yeah.
I know.
I kind of like that.
It's good.
I've seen those videos.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Okay.
But again,
and if they're like baseball obsessed, if they're baseball obsessed, you know, like when we asked is a baseball game a good first date? And we got a lot of fans saying like, oh, me and my wife went on their first date to a baseball game and now we're married. Those people, it makes sense because like your life and connection is baseball. And then you got like engaged at a baseball game. There's situations.
It's not for
everybody.
There are situations. But the question directed
good idea.
To us.
Maybe.
No, it's not maybe.
Maybe.
It's no.
It depends on what the partner that you're asking wants. If they want that attention, if they want a big proposal, and you know they're going to say yes, yes. If you're unsure, don't take the chance. Don't take the chance.
No, just don't do it. Go do something
do
different.
Do what you want.
Go do something different.
No, like, do it. Have fun. Go do it.
Don't
I love
listen
love.
To her.
Listen
they're gonna
to
say
me.
They'll say no.
What the person who's been in a relationship for 17 years?
Whoa!
Married, like
whoa!
I'm gonna toss that out there. Yes, listen to me. I can give this advice.
That's it.
I have
this
the experience.
Done. We're done. Wow, unbelievable. Thank you all for listening to this Thursday episode. We will be back tomorrow with another episode of Flippin' Bets. But for this Thursday episode, thank you all for listening. Make sure you're subscribed, following wherever you listen to your podcast. We're also on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and you can watch every episode on YouTube as well at Flippin' Bats Pod for all of them. Thank you all for listening. Until tomorrow, my friends. Peace. Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.